Let's share together in a word of prayer. And gracious and loving God, I just pray that you would continue to be present with us as we enter into this new year, leaving behind a very challenging and difficult year. I ask first and foremost that you would just simply continue to walk with us, to journey with us as we continue to face challenges and changes. In Christ's name, amen. So this year, during the season of Advent and Christmas, we have been talking about the dual themes of being on a journey and daring to imagine the ways that God is present with us on that journey. This morning, we are invited to dare to imagine joining in God's dance. God's dance of grace and joy as we continue on life's literal and spiritual journey. I have to admit that it's really, really hard for me to imagine God's dance. And it's really, really hard for me to imagine joining in a dance with God or really anyone for that matter. And I have that experience for a couple of reasons. First is, as you know, I was born and raised Baptist. Wonderful people and wonderful churches. But one of the many rules that we were conditioned to follow was the rule that dancing was forbidden. My friends in high school were often shocked by the liberalism of my parents, who actually let us attend the homecoming dance and prom. The college I attended, Bethel College in St. Paul, was a Baptist college. Baptists, like Mennonites and every other denomination I've ever had any exposure to whatsoever, firmly believe that they have the best music. As a tribute to music, when Bethel College was built, the new campus was built around the music hall. So in order to go to any of the academic buildings, you always had to pass through the Music Commons Hall. And as you would pass through the Music Commons Hall, you could faintly hear students practicing their instruments and singing in different rehearsal rooms. And as a protest to the college's ban on dancing, many students rarely, if ever, walked through the Music Commons Hall. Rather, they danced through the hall. Now, as for myself, not because I took this ban on dancing with great seriousness, I never danced through the Commons Hall, never danced when I went to homecoming, never danced when I went to prom, and it was a real struggle to do that one dance at my wedding. You see, the second reason why it's hard for me to imagine joining God or anyone in a dance is because, well, I have absolutely no rhythm. I have no ability, no skill to dance, and no interest in learning it. You will never hear me mock someone who dances, because I don't think there's anybody who could dance worse than myself. So this theme this morning of imagining entering into God's dance is really, really a stretch for me. But it is a beautiful and powerful metaphor. In our passage for this morning, the first passage that was read for us from Jeremiah, we witness the response of the people of God to being liberated from the land of exile in Babylon. The story is told intentionally to read like a second Exodus. The powerful are humbled and brought down. The lowly people of God are exalted and brought home. In the streets of Jerusalem, the blind, the lame, men and women, young and old, dance with joy as they celebrate being set free from the land of Babylon and brought home. The implication of the background of the text is that the people of God dance in the streets. And as they are dancing in the streets, God dances in the heavens, rejoicing that God's people are free and God's people are home. God and God's people join together in a joyful dance. It's hard for me to imagine joining in that dance. But it's not hard for me to imagine the joy, the gladness, the happiness that gripped the people of Israel and how that would result in the spontaneous reality of dancing in the streets. One of my favorite postmodern theologians and poets, Michael Wren, wrote a poem entitled "The Trinity's Dance of Love." In this poem, Wren suggests that the only way the doctrine of the Trinity can be understood is from what he calls the existential perspective of dance. Three persons sharing the same substance or being works only if each person joins in the dance with the spirit of self-giving love. Each participant, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have to be defined at the very core of their being by self-giving love for the three persons to coexist in one essence. Wren suggests that in the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, this holy dance of love walks and talks in human form. As John said in the first chapter, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Wren likes to play with that translation and say that the Word became flesh and danced among us. Father, Son, and Spirit dancing in self-giving love right before our very eyes. In the Gospel of John, the images of truth and light symbolize the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Spirit being present not only in the birth of Jesus, but also in the life and ministry of Jesus as well. Through the presence of John the Baptist in whom we realize he sees Jesus as the Lamb of God, Wren suggests that we are invited to see God's dance crossing the heavens and entering into our world. John 1, Wren writes, invites us as disciples to imagine that we are joining in this holy dance with Father, Son, and Spirit as we continue in our spiritual and literal journeys of faith and life. This holy and divine dance is not always filled with joy. Jesus encounters rejection, hardship, and ultimately suffering and death on the cross. But even in the midst of the darkness that Jesus endures, the light of his holy dance of love overcomes the shadows of darkness. Jesus was born in a dark and suffering world that existed under Roman imperial dominance. Luke went to great lengths to be sure future readers understood that the light of God entered into a very, very dark world. Like the Egyptians and Babylonians and Greeks before them, Rome ruled the promised land and the people of God with an iron fist. But it was in the midst of this darkness, this struggle, that Jesus was born and the holy dance played out in our time and space, culminating in Jesus's death and resurrection. Through this holy dance that included death and resurrection, we have been set free and made whole. Through this holy dance of love and light, we can join God's dance with Father, Son, and Spirit. A dance that is defined by self-giving love. a dance that has changed our lives and world. 2021 was a hard year. It was a very, very dark year. The year began with a violent dance of insurrection at the Capitol and continued to be marred by the darkness of a virus that would just simply not go quietly into the night. There did not seem to be much light and love and hope in 2021. But can we, in the midst of the continued darkness, can we imagine joining in God's dance? A dance of light and love, a dance that we share in together as a fellowship, a dance that brings light and love and hope to the world of darkness that we live in. Often a new tomorrow begins with people first imagining a new world, being the change, as they say, that we want to see. Can you imagine a better, brighter 2022? Can you imagine dancing with God through the landscape that will unfold in 2022? Can you imagine dancing with Father, Son, and Spirit, bringing love and light into a hurting and dark world? We're invited to join in God's dance, this dance of love and of light and of truth. And as we enter this new year, I want to encourage each and every one of us, as stretching as the metaphor might be, to join in this dance of love and light. Amen.